Danny's on my left.
What up?
And immediately behind me is our producer, Jerome.
I got the buttons.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you do.
We've got a proper board now.
Yes. Sweet. Hopefully all our technical difficulties are resolved from last week, and hopefully we've also dumped the catch so that we don't run into running out of space again. Whoopsie. And, yeah.
My midget porn is now going to be a problem, I think.
How about your clown porn?
Nope.
Problem?
Is that still a problem?
Problem or solution? All right.
It depends on the time.
Or both, maybe.
All right. Of course, we are talking about Minnesota hockey here. It is 3 in the box. We're going to run through, of course, breakdown of our predictions and the overall of the high school tournament. We'll delve into what's going on with the Gophers, both men's and women's teams, and we'll have a recap of what's been going on with the Wild this week since our last recording last Wednesday. Currently, let's look at what we predicted for the high school state tournament that completed this Sunday. Aaron.
Yeah, so in single A, I picked Hermantown, Kenny picked St. Thomas Academy, and Josh, you picked Grand Forks.
All right. St. Thomas Academy.
So let's just do a quick look. Hermantown, you had Hermantown, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, they did really well in the quarterfinals. Made it on into the semifinals and all the way up to the championship.
Yep.
We'll get back to it in a second. As East Grand Forks made it past the quarterfinals, made it into the semifinals, then got beat by St. Thomas Academy. In the championship, St. Thomas Academy did beat Hermantown. So Kenny is our winner of that
pool. You know, 1 and 2, not too bad.
You got to say, you know, between the three of us, we picked some.
We actually picked all right. Everybody really made it into the semi out of three picks. Everybody was in the semifinals.
For that division.
That might be a little bit of bitterness coming from Kenny right now.
Yeah, Moorhead did not give me more luck.
Our picks in the double A.
So in double A, I went with Duluth East, Josh went with Edina, and Kenny went with Moorhead.
Right, Moorhead was not good.
Moorhead, they lost to Duluth East 1-0 in the first round.
Spuds.
Yep.
Then Duluth East had to play Edina in the second round because Edina did go 9-3 in the quarterfinals.
Yay.
Against Lakeville North. So, I mean, it's Lakeville North.
Yeah.
All right. Lakeville. Edina beat Duluth East 3-2 in the semifinals and then beat Hill Murray Academy 4-2 in the championship match.
So, basically, in both games, I lost to whoever the eventual winner was.
Yeah, but you made it onto the second round in both brackets.
No, he made it to the championship.
Oh, yeah.
In one bracket.
Championship.
So, overall, Aaron, I think...
No, he made it to the championship in both brackets.
Yeah, average, I think you probably did the best.
Yeah, but I had no winners.
You had no winners, but you made it to the championship game both times.
So yeah,
I defer to you two.
I want to say Vegas still pays half odds on that.
I'd probably be doing pretty well, I gotta say.
Yeah. Josh, your single A pick?
Just died on the vine.
Okay.
Single A, let's see. Let me cut back to the bracket. Unless I'm sorely mistaken. Oh, no. They didn't die on the vine. They had to play St. Thomas Academy in the semifinals. So they made it halfway up.
Yeah.
So I would say if we averaged up points, if we figured something out, it would be pretty close between the three of us.
It really would, actually.
Yeah.
I think, Josh, you'd be a step ahead of me. Aaron, I don't know where exactly you would fall because you made it to the championship game both times.
Hey, but usually a championship win is a double point if you're going to make it on a point system, you know?
But, you know, I got knocked out first round one, took championship on the other. Yeah. You made it to the championship game both times, lost both times. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a toss-up.
I say we're all winners, and we all get a participation.
Who cares? It all comes down to the fact that we actually paid attention
to
the games.
I say each winner gets a beer.
Teams. Oh, yeah. Hey, cheers. Quick social to everybody out there that's listening. Thank you very much for listening. Wait, that's the signal that our producer needs a beer, unless I'm sorely mistaken. That brings us up to what's going on with the Wild. Let's see. Who wants to kick off on that?
So, yeah, just basically starting off the week, the Wild recalled Matt Hackett. Darcy Kemper placed an IR groin injury. He had a groin injury going into the game with the Blackhawks, but he had to come in because Backstrom was such a mess in the Blackhawks game that, you know, he had to come in because, you know, Backstrom gave up, what, 3 goals
Yeah.
In a matter of a few minutes.
Like, yeah, in next to no time. Wasn't that the first period?
It was in the first period, yeah. So Kemper had to come in. He already had a sore groin. What's going to happen?
You're going to agitate that just a bit.
Yep.
So he got tossed in the IR. Hackett comes up and is he hasn't played yet.
That's
but,
you know, that's 2 for 2 that has happened against the Blackhawks, where they've taken out our goalie in the first.
And that, actually, I'm going to change it up even more than that. That's the second time after playing the Blackhawks that after the game, we ended up placing the goalie on IR.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Wow.
Totally different reasons, but, you know.
Blackhawks are wild goalie killers, apparently.
Apparently.
I'd almost argue league goalie killers, except they finally lost in regulation, so their string has been cut since the last time we recorded. Kenny, let's cut over to you for a quick breakdown on the Wild and Nashville.
All right, so the Wild beat Nashville 2-1 in a shootout. Suter returned to Nashville after signing his contract over the summer with Minnesota.
Yep, he was booed mercilessly.
Treated the way we treated Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
But
Bertuzzi deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Suter didn't kill anyone, you know.
He didn't ruin anybody's career.
Right, you know.
You know, I don't know. He may have ruined Nashville's chances of ever having a sellout crowd again.
Yeah, people apparently were putting up, holding up signs of Robin, as in Suter was the Robin to Shea Weber's Batman.
Oh, boo. Oh. That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he is Dick Grayson, the Nightwing.
Well, he did get cheered, though.
Yeah, when
they initially announced him.
No.
Oh, no?
No, when he was
when he went to the sin bin.
Oh. the one time
of
he was.
Of course, of course.
The one time I was actually surprised by how relentless they were in booing him.
Oh, man. That just.
Well, the Predators have a solid organization. I mean, I know you guys know how much I was happy that Zidlicky was coming to the Wild when he did.
Oh, yeah.
And that. I was mildly sad that he left, but we got a great deal out of that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Suter didn't get his.
They have a great organization down there. I can understand why they would actually. And one of the few Southern teams that supports their team very well.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
It's actually been pretty crazy. I was surprised by the reaction of the crowd, because you expect a Southern team, they're not intelligent about the sport, they don't care.
I wouldn't use the word intelligent of whether not intelligent or intelligent
about the sport. About the sport. I mean, they don't have the knowledge. They don't, as a collective group.
I mean,
they're not fanatic like Minnesota.
They don't grow up playing it.
No, they don't.
And you'd expect them to have a little less.
It'd be a laissez-faire. It'd be a laissez-faire, you know, feeling towards the game, and they that was definitely not the reaction.
It'd be like us watching a polo match,
right?
So you're not calling them rednecks, are you?
No.
Just saying, they don't have natural lives.
You wouldn't expect them to be as integrated into the sport.
Although, if I had any questions about NASCAR, I might ask someone from Nashville.
Point.
Or country music.
And that's them shooting at me right now.
So, yeah. All right, so Kenny, what else happened in that game?
Well, you know, as much as they booed Suter, he did get a helper on Parisi's power play goal.
Yeah. So. And the crowd didn't really like that, I would say.
I can imagine not.
Clutterbuck returned.
Nice.
Yeah. After his first time back after that
Taylor
incident.
Hall hit.
Yes.
You know. Taylor Hall's lucky he did not play.
We'll be meeting them at some point here.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Once we see Edmonton again, I'm sure we will see Hall, unless he gets sick again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he has a little cough.
Wait. Did he come down with the mini flu?
Is there a sniffle?
Did he come down with the mini flu?
You got a little sniffle there. Do you need a tissue?
Yeah, well, he might need.
Oh God,
we are talking
way too much smack for our own good.
he might need a little bit more than that after the next meeting. Anyways, the Wild end up beating Nashville 2-1 in a shootout.
Yep, Cullen and Koivu both get goals in the shootout. It was a pretty close game. I mean, really, it was. I think it was tied up until the third period, and then that's, you know, well, I think the Wild had the lead, and then It became a tie.
Yeah, about 6.5 minutes into the third, Nashville.
Yeah, that's when Suter had his penalty when he and he actually was on the he was the one who was penalized, and there was a power play goal for Nashville.
So I bet they were happy about that.
Oh, they were very happy about that. So yeah, he was in the box. They score a goal. Crowd goes wild, and then they lose. And then he saw Suter just going. He didn't like point to the crowd and go, "Hey, suck it," you know. It was just like, "Yeah, we're winners." You know, what are you gonna do now?
Awesome. Well, after that, Josh, we had another game.
Oh yeah, we had our divisional rivals that most of us consider our main rival as the Wild. Until the district didn't reach here.
Until next season.
Until next season when they actually totally changed everything up. We were playing the Canucks, and if you missed that first period,
holy hell, you missed.
Like, that first period was possibly the most intense I have seen that team play since LeMaire was coaching them and they were playing the Canucks.
Wild had 5 in the box at one point, including Captain Mikko Koivu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is almost, first of all, we should talk about the fact that the Wild scored off the opening faceoff.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. They won the faceoff, ran it down the ice, scored in under 30 seconds, and it was just tic-tac-toe passing and ripping it right by Schneider.
Parisi.
Brilliant.
From Koivu and Spurgeon, 24 seconds in.
And it flowed so beautifully. So I was trying to have lunch, and that's the first thing I see as I'm going, okay, I'll settle the checkout, and then had to look at my lady and go, honey, we're going to have to wait till the period ends because I'm sorry. And she looked at me and said, I understand fully. Luckily, she grew up in Boston, so she understands if I need to watch a hockey game.
I am going to say the one disappointing thing is the Wild jumped out to a pretty substantial lead, 3-0, you know, and then they kind of they pissed it away.
Well,
you know,
we should also bring up the fact that as we were about to get our second goal is when we ended up with 3 in the box in the Wild's box and 2 in the box on the Canucks side, but they were offsetting, which I still haven't figured out the math on. I've tried to reread all the penalties that were assigned, and it still doesn't make sense how they were offsetting.
Yeah.
Well, you had Koivu, Falk, and Clutterbuck.
Yep.
Burrows,
all on
Edler,
the same.
Burrows, Edler, and Burrows.
Yeah, how does that work out?
But Burrows serving concurrently. I didn't realize this was the U.S. judicial system.
No, it doesn't even show anybody sitting in for his second penalty.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And it was run at the exact same time.
And all 6 of those, including both of Burrows, were for roughing. So did Burrows.
Burrows should have had 2 in a row. I mean, it
should have been 2 in a row, and it should not have been offsetting. The Wild should have had an advantage off of it, in my mind. Now, I could very well be wrong, but I was watching it at a bar with a jukebox playing, so I couldn't hear any explanation on why they justified that.
How do you get 2 roughing penalties
and not have somebody else at least sit in for one?
Right.
Or not
getting a 4-minute.
Yeah, how
right.
is that not
exactly.
at least a 4-minute major or, okay. Regardless, a couple more penalties ensue. It got real chippy in the first period.
And we're talking about, this is about midway through the first.
Yeah.
And not even a minute after that, you get the Mike Rupp, Tom Cecito fight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was very similar to last week's rupturing of Biznast.
Yeah.
Because it very... Without the rupture, but it did go down exactly the same way. Where Rupp had his jersey pulled right in the center, was getting the little tiny taps on the chin.
Little rabbit punches.
The little tiny rabbit punches to the chin, and wasn't fazed at all, and reached around and then just landed a couple of quick haymakers, ripped the helmet off, and they both fell at the same time. The thing I was impressed by is Rupp managed to spin them all the way around, so he landed on top and was cocked back ready to punch, going, we're done.
Well, you know,
when they landed on the ice, Rupp should have been on the ice, and instead Rupp was on top, ready to throw another punch, going, we're done, right?
You know, yeah. That was just a crazy, because after that, Kanapka got an unsportsmanlike conduct, Cullen got a slashing.
That whole first period was just super chippy. I mean, it's
26 minutes of penalties in the first period.
The Wild got 15
minutes
of those.
You put one thing, you're out of this game.
And it, some of them deservedly. Most of them deservedly.
Well, I
if, sure.
If you look actually, at the, I'll say every single one of them was deserved.
If you look at the first period penalty summary, roughing, fighting, unsportsmanlike conduct, and a slashing.
That one fighting was actually rupping.
Oh, yeah, it was rupping.
Yeah.
It was a rupping fighting.
It was close to a rupture, but not quite.
And then after that, the penalties are tripping, high-sticking.
There were some cheeky high-sticking ones later in the game as well. And
well, that was the second and third period.
In the second period, I was so disturbed by the fact that we were up 3-0, and I was like, oh, don't let it go. Come on, get the shutout. And right after I said, get the shutout, that's when they snuck one by us.
Yeah.
And it was a fun game to watch, though. I mean, the second period was not nearly as high impact as the first or the third. And the first period was definitely the one. And what impressed me the most was that the Wild came out of the gate just hunting for their throats, and they were the ones on dead legs. They had just played a game the night before.
Yeah.
They had just played Nashville into overtime and into a shootout Saturday night. And Sunday, they came back, and as soon as they stepped on the ice, they were like, screw you guys, we're taking this down.
And it's one of the few games, actually, where they scored more than three goals, too.
Yeah.
Which goes a long way as well.
Second or third time this season that they scored four goals.
And they were very much looking, obviously, they were looking for Parisi's hat trick.
Yes, they were, because they tried giving it to him with the open net.
With the empty net.
Right.
But it ended up falling down on his face on that, and we should probably cut over to Aaron right now for a little more Wild news. Ultimately, that game ended up 4-2, and it was possibly the best game I've seen all year.
So, yeah, after that game, we had Granlund being sent down to Houston. I know Yo made a big deal about getting sent down to having him sent down so he can get playing time. He's been scratched for the last eight games. However, when he's been playing, and this is a point I know I've made before, when he's been playing, the team has been winning. So it's like, how do you argue against him playing and the team winning and not keeping him on the roster?
Well, you know, Yo did make a good point, though, in his press conference, saying that the lines that he has, he's very happy with right now. He doesn't want to punish any of the other guys, but he still wants Granlund to develop. So, I mean, yeah.
So
I agree.
He's been a healthy scratch for more than half of his games in the last 2 weeks. Like, in the last eight games.
Right.
He played, what, three, maybe four, and most of it was bench time.
But, okay.
He was parked.
But I don't disagree with that, but up until the last, I think, up until this week, actually. So we had those two wins at the beginning of the week. Granlund had played in every single win of the Wild. The times that he'd been scratched, the Wild lost. He's been scratched three times before that. The Wild lost three times. Konopka has been scratched. You know what the Wild's record is when he's scratched?
Not as good.
It's 5-1.
Yeah, okay, got it.
So the Wild is kicking ass when Konopka's scratched and losing when Granlund's scratched.
There is a point, but he's not been getting on the ice.
You know, well,
I'm just
the other
Bob Lertzma.
If you put it,
Bob Lertzma was on the bench when the Vikings played for a Super Bowl game.
Even if you're fourth line, you're getting ice time though.
Yeah, but
not always.
Oh, you're getting ice time.
Yo also said that he wants his fourth line to be a bigger, solid line, and Granlund is not taking the hits as well as he should and not giving the hits as
well
as he should.
But that didn't work very well for us in Anaheim
last night.
It did up until the third period.
As much as I'm arguing on all of this, yeah, as much as I'm arguing on all this, I do think he's a great player, and I am a little hurt that he got reassigned, but I'm not...
hurt. I would rather see him get ice time right now, and if he can play a top one or two line down in Houston, I'd rather see that than him either playing fourth line up here and not getting as much ice time or getting scratched altogether.
I understand he doesn't belong in the fourth line, and I also understand that the first three lines, there is not necessarily a spot for him. You know, but there's not a spot for PMB either.
All right. So the next major thing that happened that same day, Matt Cassian was traded to Ottawa for the 6th round draft pick in 2014.
So a year from now, we might see some benefit.
Yeah.
And Cassian was a 2nd round draft pick.
And he's going to the Senators and not their AHL team.
No.
He's not getting... Did
he get any ice time yet this year for the Wild?
No, he hadn't.
And see, you know what? They're talking about they want a bigger, stronger line. I like Cassian. I liked him as an enforcer. I liked what he could do. You know, he was a good, solid guy.
Yeah.
Well, you remember when Socorro was with the Wild and never saw any ice time?
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean,
didn't fit the system.
They had Cassian, who's already familiar with the system.
Point.
And instead of bringing him up, they bring Mike Rupp in, which, I don't get me wrong, I mean, I like seeing guys get ruptured, but I really like Cassian.
I like Cassian as a player.
I don't disagree with that. I'd rather Cassian than Konopka. However, Konopka's been doing very well in faceoffs, I gotta say.
Well, yeah.
You know, he's been doing...
He always has been a top faceoff guy, center guy.
Well,
when he's holding their stick and kicking the puck out.
Yeah, prior to the rules being changed, the Konopka rule being enacted.
For those of you not familiar, there have been rule changes due to Konopka. During the faceoff, he had a tendency of grabbing the opposing player's stick and kicking the puck to his teammate.
Not even kicking, using his hand.
Which is even worse.
And that's why now if you touch the puck with your hand when it's on the ice, it's now a hand pass or whatever.
So, yeah, you know, and like Konopka said, yeah, they made a rule because of me. And you know what? I'll find something else to do instead of that.
He will be missed, but like I said, I'm not looking at this the same way that the Catholics that said they did not, they were allowed to eat steak on Fridays as long as there wasn't a pope. That's not what I'm saying there by any stretch. And I don't put my full faith in the Wild front office and their coaches. I will actually minge about it if I have to. But right now, I understand the decision on Cassian.
Well, and you got to keep in mind that Cassian was a pick in 2005. He was not a pick of Fletcher.
No, he was a Risenborough pick.
Yeah. So
Risenborough.
Risenborough. So it's a Risenborough prick, much like Scandella, who's now going to be on the outside looking in.
Right. Yep.
You know, now they sit in Houston. So,
well, and a lot of this also comes down to trying to pick people that would fit a totally different coach's style of play.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, Lemaire played the Lemaire trap. A lot of other teams have tried to play the Lemaire trap, some of them more successfully.
Right.
Consequently, right now we're dealing with a new coach that's risen up from the lower rank, from the AHL up to the NHL. And it'll be interesting to see as everything's shifting. I mean, we've got a lot of front office changes. We've got a lot of coaching changes.
Yeah.
They didn't even give Richards a fair shot, to be honest. But
he's doing all right with Columbus. I mean, all things considered.
He's doing great with Columbus. And... it's Columbus, so what are you going to do?
Your expectations are pretty low at that point. You know?
You got to win about, 25%? Anyway. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I hope they at least let Yo stick around for a few years because, I mean, you still got guys that are playing in Houston that have gone up through his system that,
I think a big difference with Yo is that he is Fletcher's guy.
Very true.
Whereas Richards was... He's an outside guy.
Totally outside.
You know.
There were many options on the table when they were looking to replace
Well, I know Yo was one of the options originally. When Lemaire was gone, Yo was an option.
Everybody thought he was a dark horse.
Right.
For every time they brought up. And then they went, let's give him the nod of the hat because he's won the Calder Cup how many times?
Right. Well, okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but did Richards come up before Fletcher got hired?
I don't know.
Did Fletcher get hired first?
Yes.
Because I know Lemaire quit. Risenborough got fired.
It was all during the offseason.
That all happened. Like, Gabrick left, Lemaire quit, Risenborough got sacked.
Yep.
And then, okay, basically, the hiring process, though. Did they hired Fletcher first and then Richards?
Yep, yep.
Because I know Yo was in that running to become head coach for the Wild at that point.
Probably. I mean, and I think we actually gave short shrift to Richards, but at the same point, I think he was such a departure from what LeMaire was doing that, and I think he had a different style. I think Yo is a little more laid back, a little more friendly, you know?
He's team oriented without being defensive trap.
I don't think Richards was, though, either. I think
Richards was very East Coast, push it hard in the forward end.
And I think the players are still they were tied to LeMaire's style.
Well, yeah, you can't just flip guys overnight.
You can't.
I will say they never gave Richards a fair chance to even try and implement the system with a bunch of players that had been conditioned for 10 years.
So,
anyway.
On a side note from all this, Josh was there when I was working at this bar in Minneapolis.
Meat Beast, please.
Meat Beast.
Thank you.
When there was like 9 or 12 Wild players sitting.
I believe the text I got was, what do the numbers 9, 10, 27, yeah, 14,
24,
24, 8, and yeah. And
there was a bunch of numbers, and the response was, what the hell are you talking
about? No, I knew exactly what you were talking about, and I had sent, you've got to be kidding me.
So, anyways.
And I was just getting done possibly cheating on my girlfriend at the time. I made the person I was cheating on my girlfriend with, I'll admit this on air right now, the person I was cheating on my girlfriend with, I made her drive me over to your bar. Going, sorry, gotta do it.
So anyways, that was that would have been the end of the LeMaire and Gabrick and
not my current girlfriend.
That's Josh shooting himself in the foot, by the way. That would have been the end of the Gabrick, LeMaire, and Riseborough era.
Right.
And I was like, so are they celebrating? You know, and this is before any of this was announced. Gabrick was still at the Wild. It was the day after their final game
of
the season. I was like, so are
that'd
they
be the end of the 2008-2009.
I mean, something like that. I texted back right away going, you're kidding me, right? Well, and then he went, yeah, we're trying to figure out if it's Gabrick's going away party or LeMaire got fired.
Yeah, or LeMaire's
going away. Yeah, LeMaire's retirement. Sorry, not fired.
Anyways,
right.
That happened then when they finally got rid of Richards. I'm pretty sure I sent Aaron a text.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, dude, I'm sitting at this other business establishment that I was putting some time in at, going, I'm pretty sure I just saw Todd Richards walk in with a very grim look on his face. Did he get fired?
and
I think we
did.
Found out the next day that he ended up getting canned. I was like, wow. So anyways, side story.
Wow, we got way distracted on side story. Maybe we should trade back on who's going to report the next thing.
Yeah, so coming up, the Wild.
No, Wild, we're looking at the Anaheim game next, and originally it,
the Wild had it was against Anaheim the other night. Wild went into it with a 1-0 lead going into the third, ended up giving up 2 in the final frame, losing 2-1.
And they had held that 1-0 lead from early in the first period until the bitter end, till the third period. Basically, the third period, Anaheim finally came back, and it was a Koivu versus Koivu battle.
Brother against brother.
Kinda.
Ironically, you know, those guys went out for Miko's birthday the night before.
Yeah.
And in typical Miko fashion, he's like, yeah, he still made me pay.
Right. Well, you know.
Nice. You gotta love him for that.
Well, you know, Finns are cheap. I can say that as a Finn, so, you know, I'm gonna say Finns are cheap.
come on.
We're a stoic and cheap people.
Maybe looking for a bargain, but very stoic and very hearty people, I will say that.
So, yeah, nope. Again,
It was a fun game to watch.
The older brother ended up trumping the younger brother. Again, third time this season for a final sweep.
Yep. Did he actually trump him? I don't think there was any point they actually faced off against each other.
Saku went to the box at least once.
Yeah. I take that back. I think they did face off against each other once, and that was it for the whole game.
Well, I know the previous game they ended up facing each other a few times.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah,
I think Nico ended up winning most of them that second game. If I remember correctly, I'd have to look at the stats.
If you're
again.
Watching the game, and even a detractor that we all know, even somebody that may work at a bar we work at, or I work at more appropriately,
oh, yeah.
that might be a fan of the Canucks that we may have texted a bunch of crap to Sunday night. He even was looking at it going, dude, the Wild have been dominating this game. How did this happen?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I turned around and looked at him and went, well, you just woke up, first of all, and you're right. They have been dominating the game. You're looking at the stats, and you're right. They have been actually playing the game well. Anaheim has been playing the game well, though. And it did come down to goaltending. Hiller was on his game so well.
He killed me.
Well,
he was unbelievable, and the Wild were just – it was shot,
saves.
Shot.
Both goaltenders had mythical saves, but the Wild were out shooting.
Look, well, the Wild outshot them 31-21 the entire game.
And until the third period, it was about, what, 25?
22-7.
Thank you.
Up until the third.
No, it was.
Thank you for having the stat at the ready. I appreciate that greatly, because it was just inappropriate how evil that third period ended up being, and how, even though the numbers still were leading into it,
and
they lost.
Josh, by the way, both brothers ended up in the box, both in the first period.
Nice. But I meant facing off against each other.
Facing off.
They did actually face off against each other. I thought they only faced off against each other once. Like, they kind of got rid of that whole rivalry. Let's make sure we do the media attention
but
thing.
But I will say that even going beyond saves, the actual, not shots on goal, but attempts, while I know there's only a 10 shot difference between 31 and 21, I think the Wild out attempted them by.
Well, out hit, out skated, except for one hit that comes to mind.
Yes.
Well, okay. We'll get to that in a second. The outshot. Anaheim had double the shots in the third period that they did the rest of the game.
Right. So, the big hit we're talking about. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That was so brilliant.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Corey Perry apparently decided he really wanted a Shanahan.
Yes, and he got one.
And he did get one. Cool. I didn't check on the veracity of that statement. I just knew he decided he really wanted one.
Nope, you got a four-game. I think it was four-game, and that equals to $115,000 fine.
Well, he is a bit of a tosser, so he can afford it.
Yeah. So it was a cheap shit. You know, cheap shot.
It wasn't a cheap shot. Like, when I watched the replays of it, like, I watched the actual play develop. I watched it happen, and I cringed and went, oh, that wasn't right. That was cheap. That was dirty pool.
It was late.
And then I watched the replay. And
it was so late,
he was
though.
Flying in for the hit. It was late. And as much as I have to agree, total blindside.
Yeah.
It only had to do with, it wouldn't have been a blindside had it not been for the fact that Zucker was doing a drop pass.
Zucker
looking towards the wall back.
You look at it, though. Zucker doesn't change his position. He's looking at the boards the whole time. It's not like he turns to the boards and then he gets creamed.
I totally agree with you.
You know,
he had his shoulders perpendicular to the boards the whole time.
It was a blind shot,
and
blind hit, no way.
He had dropped past on the inside of the boards and was just turning his head back. It didn't look like Corey Perry quite was skating in timing. I don't think he was expecting the drop pass. I think he was expecting something cross ice or forward.
He's still an arm
and it
went
looked
up.
Like, but he did come in hot, ready to check him. And instead of hitting his shoulder, he hit him directly in the head with his shoulder.
And then it knocked him into the boards and bounced his head off of him.
And dropped him down to the point where...
And broke his stick.
Dropped him down to the point where they, even after the game... Now, mind you, this was, if I remember correctly, this was late first period or early second period. And at the end of the
late
game.
Late second. It was late
oh,
second.
Oh, late second? Yeah. All right. Yep. At the end of the game, they still couldn't tell us what was going on. Just that he was still, he wasn't even moved to a hospital yet because they couldn't trust his condition.
Right. I mean,
they didn't have him stabilized enough to bring him to a hospital.
To say,
so Sucker was out.
It maybe it wasn't a dirty hit, but at the very least, it was a reckless hit.
Reckless hit. I will totally agree with that. I would not say it was a dirty hit. I will say it was a very reckless hit.
Right.
If I could chime in for a second, I mean, basically, Perry was coming in, okay, he was coming in hot. He was coming in fast. That's fine. You can't hold up. You can't slow down.
Sure, sure.
All right. So if you bump him, fine. But the malicious part of it was like the extension of his arms and his elbows as he, you know, kind of crushed through him there when he knew he was on the blind side of him. I think that's where the maliciousness of it comes in.
Part of it looks like he misjudged the speed that he was skating at. And
he's been in the league long enough.
The expectation of that drop pass, though.
He's been skating long enough. He should know better.
Since it was a quick drop pass, and it was such a quick look. Until they slowed it down to the point that you couldn't really tell whether it was a blindside until they slowed it down. It was shady and it was reckless, and
no one intends to hurt someone when they're making a check like that. However,
Bertuzzi.
Well, that wasn't a check that he did maliciously. That was different.
I think anyone would believe Corey Perry did not intend to hurt anyone.
No, he came.
But at
in
the same
for...
point, he hit someone's head near the boards who wasn't looking. You can't be surprised with the results.
Exactly. I am not arguing with the results. I'm saying it's one of the rare times, and one of the times that the rules are in place the way they are with the penalties that they have. I'm saying that I don't think it was done maliciously. I think it was done ultimately in fair play, but done poorly. And he got penalized appropriately for it, for what he was intending to be fair play, which got actually just misproduced, as it were.
I think he knew what he was doing. It's unfortunate. He felt it was unfortunate that the outcome happened that it did. Because normally, if you make a late hit, someone gets banged against the wall, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, players do that all the time.
Yeah, flying into each other behind, and a lot of times people aren't going to get called on a late hit. You're not going to get a late hit call unless it was done very... And he was flying in for the hit well before the puck was released.
Yeah, if Zucker has the puck...
He had the time to possibly turn, but he would have lost an edge landed on his ass and still ran
bogus.
Into him.
That's bogus.
I think he
could have stopped. I think he could have stopped or at least lessened his blow. But
I think he would have taken him out at the ankles and possibly caused more damage.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
So, all right.
Well,
so we have some controversial stuff there.
Aaron and I don't agree.
This is wonderful. I actually like this.
They still failed to convert on a 5-minute power play, given the Perry.
Yep.
They failed to convert on a 5-on-3 power play that was 90 seconds, and then ended up losing 2-1.
All right. Okay. So, Aaron, I think you got some news here for us on a new signing.
Yeah, so the Wild signed a 36-year-old defenseman, Brett Clark. He was playing in the AHL for the OKC City Oilers as a free agent. He had 19 points in the last 19 games since the lockout resumed. The Wild are going to bring him in, and it's unclear who's going to take his spot or whose spot he's going to take in the roster at this point.
You know, I would look at. I don't think Gilbert's going anywhere.
Nope, Gilbert's not going anywhere.
Suter's not going anywhere.
Nope.
It's
going to be Falk, Stoner.
Maybe Stoner.
Falk. It's got to be Falk or Stoner, right?
If they keep Rupp and Knopka, yes.
Well, he's a defenseman. Stoner. I mean,
but we're also talking about people who mix it up on a regular basis. Right now, the only player with a black eye on the Wild's bench is
Knopka?
Stoner.
Oh. Well, Konopka just usually has scars across his nose.
Yeah, and Stoner has a black eye right now and has for the last couple of games.
So, well, I don't know. The one thing, Aaron, I think you mentioned earlier in passing between me and you was the fact that he's a right-handed shot.
Right, and that was Yo's big
And there are a lot of left-handed players on the Wild
right there's
now.
A ton of lefties on the Wild.
And then there's apparently a lot of lefties that are uncomfortable playing the position that they're playing, and Yo feels more comfortable moving a natural right-hander into that spot.
Which should be good.
All right, are we ready to talk about the upcoming schedule?
Yes.
I think so.
Do we have anything else we want to talk about on the Anaheim loss, which sucked?
No.
All right, the Wild's upcoming schedule. Tomorrow night, Thursday, we've got the Avalanche at home here at the Xcel Energy Center. And then Saturday night, we've got the Wild on a back-to-back with the Avalanche, so they're heading out to Colorado for that one. Then Monday night, we've got the Wild back on the Canucks home ice. Let's see if they can make sure to teach the Canucks what they taught them this last week at the Xcel. Then Wednesday of next week, while we are recording the next episode of Three in the Box, the Wild will be playing in Detroit against the Red Wings.
So,
all right. So let's review last week's predictions to start.
Yes. I know we had three games this week. I know I chose that the Wild would go, I think, against the grain. I think they'd go 2-1, but I thought they'd beat Anaheim, I think, if I remember correctly. I know we didn't record our predictions, so you know, it's a bit of flying in the wind here.
But. Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, we shouldn't even bother bringing it up, should we? Because we don't have the info in front of us.
Well, you just started from now.
Okay, so,
all right, so
I'm gonna go with my picks for this week. So we've got four games this upcoming week.
We got a home and home with Avalanche.
Yep,
and away against the Canucks and away against Detroit.
Yes. So I'm going to say that the Wild and Avs split home and home. Home team wins both. I'm going to go with the Wild winning over the Canucks on the road. I think I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say that they're going to win against the Canucks, lose against Detroit. Even though Detroit is a little bit on a downslide this year, I've got faith that they're going to beat against the Canucks, but I think they have the Red Wings in their mind, and they're going to lose to the Red Wings for no reason at all.
They've played pretty well against the Red Wings so far this season.
Sure.
And they've played pretty well against the Canucks this season.
Yeah.
Avalanche? What have we done with the Avs this season? Have we played them yet? I think one. Oh, yeah, opening game.
Yeah. Well, first game.
We may have played a few games against the Avalanche already.
A game.
Only one?
The opener.
I thought we had two already.
I don't think so.
It might be.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Anyway,
that we had one home, one away. Anyway, getting back to it, Kenny.
So I'm going to go with Wild go 3-1, 7 points. I think they're going to take both against the Avs. I think they're going to take a W against Vancouver. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I think it's going to be a one-goal game, and I think they're going to lose to the Wings in either OT or shootout.
Well, you know, I got to agree with you on the 7 points, because I'm saying that the Wild sweep the Avs, then take an overtime loss to the Canucks on the Canucks home ice, and then beat Detroit because they're so focused on the Detroit game.
So we're pretty close other than being swapped on Vancouver and Detroit.
But what does Jive say?
Jive!
Well, I'm going to put my picks in. They're going to go 2-2 this week, and they'll split against the Avs. Course, they're going to win here at home in at the X, and then but I think they're going to go on the road then to play the Canucks, and they'll probably lose that one in an overtime shootout is my guess. And then I would have to say that, you know, Detroit, they're flopping. It's Detroit, for Christ's sake. And it is what it is. The Red Army is no more, and the Wild are going to overtake them.
So either we got a 3-1, like Josh and I are saying, a 2-1, as Aaron and Jive are saying, and the splits are both different between both sets of pairings.
It is.
So we got some nice grouping going on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, yeah.
All right, real quick, we still got a cut back to Gophers. We haven't dealt with that yet. The Gophers did finish their last regulation. The men's Gophers did finish their last regulation against the Beavers. Kenny's beloved Beavers.
The Beavers. And you know what? They play the Beavers again.
Yes, they do. Actually, the first round of the finals for the WCHA is against the Beavers for the Gophers, and that will bring it into the national playoff circuit. But, Kenny, you got the ladies pulled up there.
Yes. The ladies are actually first round for the final for WCHA. They're going to be playing North Dakota. They actually knocked North Dakota out of in the NCAA quarterfinals, they're playing North Dakota. They knocked North Dakota out last year. All the final Frozen Four stuff is going to be at Ritter Arena coming up in 2 weekends? 1 weekend? March 22nd, 24th. 2 weekends.
All right. Now, real quick, of course, Friday and Saturday night, the Gophers are going to be playing the Beavers, and this will be the second weekend in a row because last weekend they soundly handled the Bemidji State Beavers. 4-3 on Friday, 5-1 on Saturday. The games will be Friday and Saturday again, 7 p.m. at Mariucci Arena. If there is a need for a tiebreaker, it will be Sunday, St. Patrick's Day at Mariucci as well. Now let's get into our Player of the Week. I believe that you have the tallies from last week's poll currently on Facebook.
Yes, so.
All right. How are we looking?
Or is it Kenny? You have the tallies, don't you?
I do have the tallies.
You know what? I'm just going to. How about we just pull up three? How about we pull up three in the box on Facebook?
Well, put it this way.
And see if anybody else voted.
Aaron
Let's
won.
See if anybody else voted.
Yeah.
It could have changed from the beginning of the episode.
I think that's fair.
We did a bunch of us threw out the poll real late in the day today. Let's scroll down and nope, Aaron still won. Okay.
So I'll go last.
So, yeah.
So I won having Ryan Suter as my pick. I think everyone else tied as
one
even.
Vote. Yeah. Even. Yeah.
You all tied with 20% of the vote.
That sounds about right.
Yep. Okay. So, Josh, who's your pick?
Actually, should we let Jive go first this time?
Yeah,
he's got a microphone for a change.
And he's got a pick, actually.
All right, Jive.
Sure. I'll take it over. I'm going to go with Matt Cullen, just because maybe he hasn't been on the scoreboard all the time. I know he did. I think he had a shootout score that helped the Wild to a win. But I must say he's had a lot of helpers, and he's just been involved a lot on the ice with some good play for the Wild, so. Just for being the all-around guy, you know, not necessarily the flashy guy, but
he's definitely been
getting it done.
He's definitely been solid on the forecheck, I got to say. I mean,
Cullen's been fighting for it and actually doing a lot of work, getting a decent amount of assists and making plays happen.
And his forecheck's
been amazing.
It's not all about the goals and the assists. It's all, it's your
his
full game.
His forechecking and his awareness on the ice has been what's keeping him with that much ice time.
And he did have a shootout goal that won it against the Predators.
Exactly.
All right. You know, I originally was going to go with Adam Wilcox from the Gophers, shutting down the Beavers, and hopefully he shuts them down again this weekend. But I think I'm going to change it up. I think I'm going to go with Mikko. Go with Koivu.
All right. Any particular reason why?
Again?
Sir?
Again?
Again. This is 2 weeks in a row.
That's all over
Mikko Koivu's jock.
Happy birthday to Mikko Koivu.
Well, it worked for me.
Happy birthday, Mikko.
I had Suter 2 weeks in a row, and I've won 2 weeks in a row. So I'm not going to argue with that.
Koivu had, you know, quite a few assists, quite a few helpers. He did have a shootout goal
against
the Predators. And in that game, he also had a helper with Parisi's goal against the Canucks. He had a helper. Plus, you know, he got the roughing penalty. He was not backing down from Burrows, which I wish I wish Koivu would have just clocked Burrows. That would have been awesome.
He looked like he wanted to fight, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then again, playing against his brother, you know, so he had a few helpers. He had the shootout goal, some, you know, the roughing penalty that I really, really, other than the fact that I think it was Mikko, I think they would have let him go.
All right, and I'm going to say screw you guys because I've been holding on to this and I didn't even bring it up when we were discussing the high school tournament. I'm going for Grant BC. Minnesota's Mr. Hockey out of the high school tournament. 49 goals on the season, 6 hat tricks. did not even get into the tournament. One player does not make a team, but this guy did just crush it for his team and make sure to play very great hockey. He was named Mr. Hockey for the high school tournament. That is my pick for the week.
Now, this is a stat that we don't really look at much, but has anybody looked into the fact or looked into has Mr. Hockey ever been Mr. Hockey without making it to the playoffs?
You know, we don't have time to try and search.
No.
I don't know.
This is more of just a general consensus question. We'll let you know next week while we find out on that.
This is somewhere we have to look back a long ways. Aaron.
So I'm going to go with Parisi. He's got 3 goals on the 3 games. How do you argue with that? And plus he's got a helper, and I think he's got a shootout goal on top of that.
Yep. No, you got a valid point.
No,
that
was Koivu.
Koivu got it. Yeah.
Koivu and Colin.
Sorry. Koivu and Colin had the 2, yeah.
But they wouldn't be in a shootout if it weren't for
Parisi shot, but his was a save.
They wouldn't have been in a shootout had it not been for Parisi.
No, he did get that goal early or about midway through the second.
So I'm going with Parisi. I think that's an easy call.
He's earning his paycheck.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
All right. Do we have anything else we'd like to go over, gentlemen? Anything?
I think it's about that time.
I think it's about that time, isn't it? Thank you all very much for listening. We very much appreciate it. Now, we'd all like to say our individual goodnights and tell you where to follow us. Aaron, since you're on my right, could you kick it off, please, sir?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out my band, pinrot.com. That's also, not the band, but, you know, that's our web address.
I'd like to bring out, if you're looking for at AaronGNP, you should do double A.
Yes, no, no E-R-I-N-A-R-O-N.
Yeah. The double A-R-O-N for Aaron.
Is there an Aaron with a Y?
Oh, there probably is, but he's probably a loser.
It's usually a Y.
And he probably
A-E-R-Y-E-N or something.
And he probably plays a lot of video games. And
it's some weird Irish thing. Who cares? It's St. Patrick's Day.
He's not listening to this anyway.
No.
He'll have a holiday coming up on Sunday. Who cares?
All right. This is Kenny signing off. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999.
Chiddly Ive, Jive, give us your details.
And you can follow me because you're creepy on Twitter at Jive Midnight.
Let's teeter.
All right. Remember, this is also the Meat Beast. We will be back next Wednesday with another week. You can also hear me on the Clubhouse show on CyanetRadio.com. Listen to independent radio and keep your stick on the ice. Have some fun, kids.
Hello.